"Oh, Minister, I'm so exhausted," exclaimed Mitchell Mouse to me in church this week. "Well, Mitchell, are you coming down with mouse flu or something?" I asked him. "No, Minister, I'm as strong as a mouse can be," he replied. "So why are you so exhausted?" "Well," said Mitchell, "it's all to do with the Bible and that man you call Paul." "What do you mean?" "He told folk to be eager and showing respect, and I've been eager all week, and I am exhausted," said Mitchell. Mitchell, I don't think Paul meant it to become a competition." "Well, Minister," he said, "we have to be eager and work hard and not be lazy. That's Romans 12, verses 10 and 11. "So what things have you been doing that's got you so exhausted?" "Well, where do I begin? I've tried to be practical. I've swept up all the crumbs left in church and gathered the sweets that rolled away into the corner, which my family will no doubt eat. I gave some of the food to the field mice who live outside because they looked so hungry. I've been nice to members of my family and my neighbours. I've been respectful toward all the older mice. I've tried to love my children and not get annoyed with them. I've tried to care for some of the other creatures who live in and around the church, even though they are not like me." "Well, Mitchell, it's no wonder you're quite exhausted doing all these things," I said. "Instead of trying to do everything all at once, why not do one thing at a time and make the best job of that that you can? That way you will indeed show honour to God." "Och, Minister, you're being sensible," replied Mitchell. "Mitchell, God wants us to care for other people, love other people, but he also wants us to love ourselves. If we end up exhausted because we try too hard, then we end up being no use to anyone. Paul, writing to the church, was encouraging everyone to play their part and to do their best to care for the people around them so that God's name would be known by the love that his followers demonstrated to family, friends, and strangers. So we just try and do what we can. Absolutely, Mitchell. Just try and be a real friend to others." "I will, Minister," he said, and he danced away down the aisle to the back of the church and hid in the corner. Paul's letter to the Romans can leave us all feeling exhausted, and that's just before we've begun to follow through on his instructions. It is a long list of ways to love. Be completely sincere when you love. Hate evil, hold on to all that is good. Love everyone, work hard, keep hopeful and be joyful. Be patient, pray at all times. Share what you have, welcome strangers. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep. Care for everyone. Do not be proud. Do not think yourself wise. Repay wrong with good. Live at peace with everyone. Never take revenge. Instead, feed your enemy. Give them water. Crikey, that is a long list, and no wonder Mitchell Mouse was exhausted trying to do it all. This week, we're exploring yet another kind of love. And this love is known as storge, spelled S-T-O-R-G-E. Familial love, loving as brothers and sisters. The idea of being brothers and sisters together is a much used phrase in church circles. And the context of this passage is that Paul has confronted the early Roman church with the idea of seeing themselves as the body of Christ. Put aside conflict, boasting, trying to compare oneself against the other. These are not signs of the kingdom. To be the body of Christ, you need to be more than an individual pursuing right living or keep to a set of rules. The sign of the church is that love that we have between us. Amy Lindemann Allen explains in her writing in Paul's letter, although Roman Christians would later face fierce persecutions at the hands of Emperor Nero, Paul's letter to the Romans was written before this fate. As a result, the evil he is addressing is not of an outside force seeking to defeat the Christians, but rather of the subtler, though perhaps just as dangerous, pressure of their own neighbours, family, and friends. The suffering that Paul addresses is a suffering caused by the experience of Roman Christians finding themselves on the outside of their social circles due to their new religious beliefs that forbid the worship of idols. Family members, co-workers, and neighbours who have not converted to Christianity did not understand and did not approve of the new behaviours of their Christian counterparts who refused to attend public events, many of which were deeply integrated into the sort of idol worship that they took part in. This experience of their neighbours and families not understanding where Christians are coming from in relation to public discourse and current events seems to be something we've never escaped, she goes on. While the issue today may not so clearly be idol worship, Christians who seek to follow the command to love, for instance, often find themselves on the other side of their families, co-workers and friends when it comes to current social and political issues. Amy is right. In many ways, as Christians, we stand counter to the culture that we live in, and Paul's instruction in his letter flies in the face of the way the world seems to work. And yet, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, the refrain from the last few weeks. Words from a cheesy song that speak right into where we are as a world. We need love, and love that sees each of us as family, brothers and sisters in Christ, of Christ, for Christ. Today is Mothering Sunday, a day like many other Christian events that's been hijacked by the card, chocolate, flour, and the latest edition gin industries. Mothering Sunday, in days long gone by, was the Sunday when sons and daughters working in service would get a Sunday off to mark the midpoint of Lent, and they would return home, visiting their family homes and, of course, their mothers, but also returning to their mother church. The mother church would be the nearest cathedral or large church, each of which had smaller daughter churches connected to it. And it was a mostly English Anglican thing. This developed to what we have now as a day when mothers are the focus and the church less so. But it does illustrate how the language we use around the church has often a familial ring to it. We brothers and sisters together in the church, the mothering place. And so there is some sense in choosing today for our day to look back over the last year and to do the business required of an annual stated meeting. I don't like to make a huge fuss of Mothering Sunday in church because I know that sadly the experience some have as mothers or of mothers or the desire to be a mother is not always positive and that today can be a painful day for many. For those who can and want to celebrate, there's enough time later in the day for that. Families can be complicated. Even in the most loving of families, life can be complicated. Today, for example, I've had to turn down having a meal with my children because as a child, I am pulled to go and visit my mother and my mother-in-law. And I guess I'm not the only person here facing that kind of dilemma. I am both a mother and a child. And how lucky I am to be in that position. If we see church as family, then it can help us understand that that isn't always going to be easy. There is bound to be tension from time to time when people are being pulled in different directions. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is trying to address this and helpfully lays out a way of living that should reduce these tensions and help us live in familial unity and in love, even with those we may not always agree with. I have been with you now for 14 months, and I'm still blown away by the way everyone works together to achieve all that goes on around this church. Being church takes a huge amount of organising, and it also takes a huge amount of love. And I sense that love. Love for your church, love for your parish, love for those who are part of our church community, and love for those we share the parish with, and love for those much further afield. And this is evidenced by what we do. The reflection earlier picked up on just a small part of this. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, opens with a welcome and introduction and then a prayer of thanksgiving. First, he writes, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith." The whole world is hearing about your faith. What a wonderful witness they were being. What a wonderful witness we are being too. But I wonder if we could improve on how we let people know about everything that we do. Just one of the tasks for our new communications group to take up. I want to finish with a reflection written by one of the writing group that I'm part of that puts together some worship resources called Spill the Beans. It lays out a way of approaching life based on the words of Paul to the Romans that we heard earlier, and I hope they're helpful. Be loving in your nature. No bitching about other people. No telling lies to make you look good, no foul words or derogatory remarks towards those who are different from you. Be patient, understanding, and kind to folk, so that in all that you do for them, you demonstrate a warmth and affection that makes them feel safe in your presence. Don't stay silent when people are doing bad things. Speak up when people are hurting or cheating others. Defend those who are defenseless. Accept those whose language, culture, and beliefs are different from our own. And don't resort to violence or war to prove a point that you are bigger or stronger than them. Be positive in all your actions. Reveal what you believe by feeding those who are hungry, healing those who are sick, speaking up for those who have no voice. Learn to stand in other people's shoes before you say something you might regret. Be enthusiastic for the things of God and make your religion fun and not a chore to be got through. Don't get bogged down in always trying to be right, but just do your best to live as Christ lived each day. There may be times when the world turns against you, when your partner walks away from you or you're made redundant from your work or are accused of doing something wrong when you haven't. Perhaps you have lost loved ones that matter to you, and God seems to have forsaken and forgotten you until your heart aches and you feel overwhelmed by grief or anger. These times come to us all, testing times, trying times, lonely times. In these moments of darkness, accept the help of others with good grace. Don't feel that you have to bear this on your own or that you're the only one this has ever happened to. For Jesus himself was forsaken and abandoned and suffered, but still managed to remain gracious and focused on God, to know that life was complex and full when God is trusted with all our hearts and minds and souls. Stand up for God and what you believe. Share laughter with your friends and enemies. Shed tears with those who get upset. And don't try to be stoic and distort what some think is manly. Express your emotions honestly. Avoid bottling things up until you make yourself ill. Try not to hold grudges against others or plot ways to get your own back on all those that may have hurt you, but seek the path of peace and reconciliation. Do something that makes a difference rather than causes people pain. For in the long run, you seek to build a better world rather than tearing an old one down. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Amen.